Welcome to the Metal Hammer Podcast. This is episode 153. I am Mel from Metal Hammer. Hello, everybody. Hope you're doing all right out there in this strange pandemic world that we still find ourselves in. This is a special episode where I talk to the one and only Simone Simons from Epica. They have a brand new album, Omega, which came out last week via Nuclear Blast Records. I suggest you go give it a listen. It is huge sounding. It is bombastic. It is progressive. It is conceptually loaded. It is everything you want from a new Epica record. So we thought we'd have a little catch up with Simone and find out how she's doing, what went into making the new album, the songwriting process behind it, what it was like actually writing and recording a new album in the middle of a pandemic, and whether they thought twice about releasing an album in a pandemic and in a climate where they couldn't actually tour and play those new songs live. We talk about the fascinating mix of influences that go into Epica's sound, and also Simone's own influences and how she first discovered her voice as a classical singer. You can find out about the legendary metal band that inspired her to make the move from pop singing over to classical. We also talk about touring, what she misses most about being on the road, what she's looking forward to most about getting back up on stages when the time is right. We talk about Disney movies and her favourite Disney movies to sing along to when she was a kid. It's all in there. It's all good stuff. And if you like what you're hearing, if you're loving the new album, you want to read even more from Epica, don't forget to go and pick up our exclusive Epica edition of our recent issue. There are only 200 of these ever made, and they come with an exclusive cover featuring Simone. It looks absolutely awesome. You're going to want to frame it when you pick it up. And as well as that, we also got Simone to personally hand sign 200 lyric sheets. One of each comes with each copy of this special edition issue. As I said, there's only 200 of these ever made, and they are selling very fast indeed. So if you want to pick one up, head over to tinyurl.com/Epica bundle. They will be gone soon, and you're not going to want to miss out on those. I should add that very, very close to the end of this interview, in the final kind of minute or two, there's a brief couple of seconds where it sounds like Simone and I are talking over each other a little bit. That's because when I compressed the files together, there was a strange delay, and I had to kind of edit around that, which meant that it sounds a little bit like I'm kind of cutting into her talking for a second or two near the end of her final couple of answers. But I wasn't interrupting her. It's just the way the final edit came out. But as I said, that's very nearly the end. The rest of it is all gravy, and I hope you enjoy it. So I'm going to hand you over to my chat with Simone, which happened earlier this week. All right, I'm here with Simone now. How are you doing, Simone?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you. I'm very good. Where are you at right now? Are you out in the Netherlands?
No, I live in Germany, but I am from the Netherlands originally, but I've been living in Germany since quite a while now.
Oh, okay, cool. And what's the situation with the pandemic out there at the moment?
We were in a complete lockdown up until today. I mean, today they are opening hairdressers again and certain salons, but it's like, I don't know, half lockdown at the moment. Schools are also not running back full force. It's 2 days of school every 2 weeks, which is basically nothing. So, yeah, but we're healthy and keeping ourselves busy, homeschooling, doing lots of interviews.
Well, glad to hear it. I mean, recording an album in this kind of environment must have been pretty challenging. Was there any kind of hesitation in releasing the album once you'd finally got it together? Because I guess when you first recorded it, or started to record it at least, you might have been thinking that by the time it came out, we might be a little bit further out of this whole thing. So once you guys realized that wasn't the case, was there a bit of a hesitation in putting it out in a climate where you're not able to tour it and play shows properly?
Yeah, when we were recording the album, when we were almost finished, that's when the lockdown came. Everything was recorded up until the lead vocals, so those had to be recorded, you know, in the countries where we live. Mark, my colleague, lives in Sicily, and I live in Germany, and our main studio where we record the album is in the Netherlands, and that was middle of March. So I remember I recorded my vocals close to where I live, so I could go there in the morning, be back home in the afternoon, and Mark recorded at his home studio. And while I was recording my vocals, bands were coming back from tours. Bands had to cancel tours. And I thought, okay, the album's going to be out in September. Tour's going to be in October. We should be fine. But then as the months went on, I found out, like, this is going to take a while. And then we postponed the release. We postponed the tour. And then we postponed the tour again. And, yeah, it's I guess we were hoping that with the postponement of the album and the first postponement of the tour, that things would be back to normal. But yeah, this is quite a resilient virus.
Yeah, of course. Well, it's I guess at some point it just comes to the point where you just think we just got to get our music out there, and we've written this album and we want people to hear it, right?
Yeah, you want people to hear it, but I think music is such a powerful tool to elevate your mood and just makes you know, it's like a drug in a way, and it's a great way to, get by in everyday life. And also, especially now, a lot of people are struggling, and music has given me so much, and I hope that we can also offer a little bit of that peaceful state of mind, or make people drift off to our music and forget their daily problems.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I could drift off to the albums I make. It's out right now, of course, but I don't know if I call it an album you can drift off to. It's very bombastic. It's high energy. It's dramatic. It's been the longest gap between studio albums for you guys. You've had a few projects in the last few years. You've had EPs. You did the Attack on Titan project, which is really cool. But in terms of a full album of original Epica material, this is the first record in nearly 5 years. So why do you think it kind of took that space of time for you to all get into a situation where you felt like you could do a full album again?
After we were done recording, no, after we were done with the tour cycle for the Holographic Principle, we were kind of drained. I guess our batteries were a little bit empty, and we were really in need of a little tour break to just catch up with family and friends and just be home for a while, not be shock our bodies with countless jet lags and stuff like that. So yeah, first of all, we had the biggest world tour ever for the Holographic Principle. Then we released the Solar System EP, and those were originally songs that were also recorded for the Holographic Principle CD. Attack on Titan, as you said, was an EP that we worked on. And then we went into the sabbatical, and during the sabbatical, basically, it was just a touring break. We were still working, and we were writing our biography, The Essence of Epica, which people can get at epicabook.com. It's sold on a separate website if anybody wants to have some reading material now. Then we remixed Design Universe, which is our, I don't know, is it the fourth album? I lost track. That album was 10 years old, and we remixed it, and we recorded a couple of songs in an acoustic style. And then we went to do some shows to promote that anniversary edition, the gold edition, we say, from Design Universe. And then when we came back from tour, that's when we basically hit the studio to start writing and recording. And that was then 2019, November, thinking that we would release it in 2020, and then it was released a little bit later. So time flies by. We were definitely still busy, but we really needed the time to recharge our creative batteries, to be motivated and feel inspired again to write music. And I think it was the right decision to do that.
After that much time off from kind of committing to a full-length album, because it is just such a different project to have to get stuck into, were there any kind of nerves in the camp? Were you a bit unsure whether you kind of still had the capacity and whether you were in the right place mentally to commit to something like this?
My thought was that when we got this email from our producer Jos while we were in Latin America, we just did our last show. That was Costa Rica. We were having breakfast. We were in between the palm trees. It was November or October, I think. And yeah, it felt like a holiday. We just said we only did a couple of shows. And then he sent us a schedule like, yeah, let's get together in November and start writing new songs. Let's see who has some songs already waiting to be used. And I thought, oh, that's early, you know. I was enjoying the break, but on the other hand, it's good to have somebody push you a little bit, because I'm a lazy bum. I mean, I needed somebody to kind of shake me up a little.
I don't know if
So
you get this far into your career being a lazy bum, to be honest. You've been doing this a
no, but
while.
I do need somebody to put, like, to set dates for me or deadlines or something
Right.
to work towards. That's what I've been doing now, also during the lockdown and not being able to tour. Keep myself busy, set goals, It sounds silly, but I like to do my yoga every Sunday morning. It's of course digitally, but it's so easy to say, "Nah, I'm gonna stay on the couch." But I have to do that in order to not become a complete couch potato.
Yeah, that's fair. The album itself, as I said, is very bombastic. It sounds huge. It's the kind of album that I think could only come from Epica. Again, as is often the case with you guys, it's a very conceptually loaded album. I want to make sure I've got this right. This is serving as the final chapter of a conceptual trilogy that was started with the Quantum Enigma in 2014 and continued with the Holographic Principle in 2016. Why did you want to kind of continue that theme and kind of bring that thing? I was going to say full circle, but I guess it's more like full triangle.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is with Epica is that we basically have recurring topics all the time. And for this, it's, we always have like cornerstones that we like to touch. And I think this is definitely not so super scientific as the holographic principle and the quantum enigma. This is like the spiritual ending of it all. And we have the Kingdom of Heaven part three, where Mark, who's the writer of the lyrics, also the music for the largest part, he's talking about how science and spirituality have to come together and find out the true meaning of life. And that's a little bit the thing in that nutshell, and that all of us have basically these labyrinths within ourselves that we are trying to explore, which we try to navigate and find our way in life. Sometimes we get lost, and hopefully we'll get out on the other side.
What do you think draws you guys to kind of dealing with these bigger, almost existential questions? Because it's quite a loaded thing to try and fit through the prism of music.
Yes, Epica has never been writing about Dungeons and Dragons, no disrespect, but we always love to talk about what's going on in society, in our personal lives. One of my favorite subjects back in the day in school was philosophy. So, those are things that kind of keep us going, that spark our interest more than fictional stories. So, on the record, another topic we write about, of course, is global warming. I think a lot of people are doing that nowadays. We're becoming more aware of what's going on. And through our music and our lyrics, we get to inspire people and give them a little push as well to start thinking about what's going on and stir things up a little bit.
Very fair. I read that you originally, so please correct me if I'm wrong, this is internet research strictly, but I read that you originally sung, you kind of grew up singing pop music, and then you changed to classical singing when you heard Nightwish for the first time. Is that true?
Yeah, about 80%, I guess. I always loved singing. I was the classical Disney princess. I loved watching Disney movies. I loved singing along to Beauty and the Beast, Aladdin, and of course, The Little Mermaid. And after that, I wanted to start my own like Spice Girls with my
Amazing.
sister. So I think I wrote my own lyric. My first lyric at the age of 8 or something. I could already speak a little bit of English, so the song was called "Don't Be Afraid." That was my first song. I don't have it any. I don't have it written down. I think I just
That was going to be my
memorized
first
it.
question, if you had it written down anywhere.
No, I don't. And when I started to get more into music, my parents always had a radio running. Like the popular radio during the day, and on Sunday, classic FM or the heavy stuff. My dad liked to listen to Brahms, and to me, that was like funeral music. I did not have such a huge love for classical music as I, or appreciation as I do now. And I started to get into the rock scene, like Silverchair, Deftones, Live, Radiohead, Garbage. My best friend back then, she was totally in love with Kurt Cobain. I never had a thing for like blonde, blue-eyed boys. I'm more into the dark long hair and dark eyes, and that was my first boyfriend, and he was into metal. He was a black metal head, so to speak. And he was wearing on the schoolyard like Cradle of Filth t-shirts, and he looked super cool, and I thought, oh, he's gonna be my boyfriend.
Amazing.
And he became my boyfriend, and then he dragged me into the metal scene. So at first I was into black metal, and a friend of his gave him a CD from Nightwish for me to listen to. I already knew Tristania, Lacuna Coil, and but Nightwish was the first real deep, rich, classical female vocal combined with metal music, and I just loved the combination. Plus, they covered a song which was my childhood favorite song, that's Walking in the Air from the movie The
Great cover.
Snowman, and that was like, okay, I love this band. And I back then I was having singing lessons, like just normal pop jazz singing lessons, but I was bored by it, and then made the switch to classical singing lessons at the age of 16, 17,
You
yeah.
say made the switch, but that's not a switch everyone could make. So when did you kind of realize quite quickly when you decided you wanted to give it a go that your voice suited that style? And then did you kind of feel like, wow, my voice suits this style even more than what I was doing before?
I guess I just started singing along to the songs and had it already developed a little bit an imperfect technique that sounded like classical singing. So that just I found it quite enjoying, and I loved how the voice changed when you sing classically. And a fun fact is that one of my aunts of my mother, so I guess you could call a great aunt, she's a singing teacher as well, classical singing. And my parents asked her to come over and have me sing for her so she could give me some advice. And she told, there's actually a photo of her and me in the book, The Essence of Epica, when each band member is talking a little bit about their relationship with music and how things came to be. And she told me I was still very young and my voice and body needed to develop more before I would start to get into the heavy techniques of classical singing. And of course, I didn't listen to her. I went ahead and got singing lessons anyway. So,
When you kind of started to think about being in bands and heading towards metal, was there much of an avenue for that style of singing in metal at that time? Because we did have bands like Nightwish and I guess bands like The Gathering and similar bands before that, but that, you know, there wasn't exactly an abundance of bands in the scene of that style at that time. So did you find it easy to kind of make your way bringing that style of music into metal?
Well, I remember bands like Lacuna Coil, of course Nightwish with Temptation, After Forever, yeah, The Gathering, of course. Mendelian is one of my favorite records of all time, and Annika released also her newest solo album on the same day as we did, on the 26th of February, which is really funny. And we toured together, and she's a really a sweet, very talented woman, and very down to earth despite of her, her name, she was one of the pioneers, I guess. What I know from my own research is that Nightwish or Thomas also was inspired by her singing, but then started working with Tarja, who had this beautiful classical voice, and that's how Nightwish came to be. But there were not many bands with female singers, and back then it was labeled as female-fronted metal, even though that didn't say so much about the style. I guess it was decided that it would be symphonic metal or gothic metal, but nowadays it is so outdated to use that term, because the only thing you know is that there's a woman doing the vocals, and the style of the band doesn't define the sound of the or the
Yeah,
style of
and
the
you
band.
guys seem so unique. I was going to say in that scene, but like you say, it's probably a bit misleading to even call it a scene as such. Like to say that what you're doing is the same as where Within Temptation are at, et cetera, is ridiculous because there's such a unique aspect and of what you do. One of the things I find really interesting about your music is you can just see all the influences that have come in from so many different places. You can kind of see some Middle Eastern influences kind of coming in and things like that. Where do those kind of elements come in from?
Well, we had that in the
Yeah.
beginning of Epica. Our our first name before we were called Epica was actually Sahara Dust. And that was because we already had these Middle Eastern influences in our music, songs like Saif al-Din. No, I can't think of any. As the band, as we grew, we had Fools of Damnation, we had Death of a Dream. We had quite a lot of songs that were hitting a little bit that style. And I love that. I love the combination of those two styles. And on this record, it returned. And songs like Seal of Solomon, Code of Life. Code of Life is one of my favorite songs. I love to sing a little bit arabesque style. It comes natural to me. I haven't studied it or practiced it. It's a very emotional way of singing, I guess. I just close my eyes and we do like three takes. I just improvise, and then Joost is like cutting, pasting, taking out the best parts. And a very talented singer from the band, a Tunisian metal band called
Great
Myra.
man.
We toured with them as well, and we asked Zohar, the singer, if he wanted to do some vocals as well for that, and he's very good at it. And it's just gives me goosebumps every time I listen to it. I am 100% Dutch, but not on the outside, but not on the inside. I don't have anything with Dutch classical, traditional Dutch music. I just prefer, I see myself more as a belly dancer and the body of a Dutch
Yeah,
milkmaid.
I mean, it really does suit you guys' music, and like you said, it's been something that's been around it pretty much since the very beginning. You guys have some tours and shows planned across the year. Of course, we're hopeful. A lot of these things are hopeful. We're hoping some of these things can go ahead. What are you kind of missing the most about touring? What is it you like about being on the road the most?
What I miss is definitely being on stage, singing, traveling. Ever since I was 17, I've been traveling a lot, and that was my life, my lifestyle, not just my job. And that was normal to me. And being home a lot is not normal for me. And I miss the variation, the traveling, meeting the fans. And there's nothing compared to being on a live. On the stage, singing live, creating the music at that moment. There's nothing compares to that. Nothing can replace that. So that's definitely missing. And I feel a little bit as if I'm on standby. And besides that, what I miss as well is that other people are cooking for me and cleaning. I mean, I feel like I'm a kitchen slave nowadays. I'm just in the morning, making breakfast, lunch, dinner, and I feel like a little bit of hamster stuck in a loop, like the mess never ends. I always keep on cleaning, cooking, buying food,
Yeah,
sleeping,
it
and
sounds
then
familiar. I
repeat.
think a lot of us are having a very similar routine right now. Is there anywhere left in the world that you'd really like to visit? Epica have been pretty much about everywhere there is to go. But is there anywhere in particular you'd still love to play if possible?
Yes, I mean, we went to New Zealand already once before, but I was so tired that I had to go and sleep. I had to catch up on some sleep so I could drop my phone in the toilet 5 minutes before the show. I was so jet lagged. I don't even remember much of the show, but we had the opportunity to visit the set where
Oh,
Lord of the
wow.
Rings was filmed, like. And I decided to sleep. And of course, now I'm well rested. I mean, I slept for a year. So I regret that a little bit. But the thing is, whenever we are on tour, I have to make sure that I'm in the best shape. And if I feel tired, no matter how tempting a sightseeing trip is, I have to rest. But we are now in the kind of luxurious position that we can schedule our flights a little bit better, so we're not completely exhausted. So definitely New Zealand. I love Japan, but at this moment I just want to be on stage. Doesn't matter where it is.
Well,
Peace out
hopefully it will
again.
happen sooner rather than later. What else are you hoping for this year apart from getting able to get out on the road and play shows again?
I would love to just do little day trips with my family. That's something we've never been big holiday fans. I mean, if we would go on a holiday 5 days tops, and then we would like to go back home. I guess that has to do with the fact that both my husband and I are touring musicians, and home is like basically holiday, and
Sure.
that's turned around now. But in order, to still kind of explore the beautiful surroundings of southern Germany, we would always do like day trips to the Black Forest or the Bodensee, which is a lake at the end in the south of Germany that's connected to Switzerland and Austria. It's super beautiful there. And go to restaurants. I don't have very high demands. I mean, I guess I'm like everybody else. I just want the little bit of normalcy to
Absolutely, and
return.
we all feel that way as well. And hopefully, we will get to see you out here in the UK soon, play those new songs. The new album is called Omega. It is out right now. You can go listen to it, buy it via various awesome platforms. I've seen all sorts of cool vinyl packages you guys are doing as well. Go and buy it, pick it up. It is huge, as bombastic as metal gets in 2021, and that's what we like to hear. Also, don't forget that you can pick up the special Epica edition of a recent issue of Metal Hammer featuring Simone on the cover. She has a copy right there. Awesome. It comes bundles with a hand-signed lyric sheet, hand-signed by Simone, in fact. You're flicking through it right now.
Yeah, that's actually funny. I was signing these at home, and I had to ship them, of course, to the UK. And then my husband was like, "Oh, I'm gonna order one. It's so beautiful. You have to have one." And he kind of sparked the idea in me to collect the covers. So we were about to order one, and then I wrote Nuclear Blast UK if it's possible to get one. So I got one, and I also have a signed lyric sheet, but I don't. Well, I signed them to ship them, and then I got one back. It's like, maybe I'll just bring it with me on tour one day and just give it to a random fan. Hopefully, I can
That's a
make
lovely
somebody
idea. I kind of
happy
feel like if there's
with
one
that one.
person that has a right to have a copy of one of these issues, it's you. So I think that's fair enough that you've ended up with one. There are only 200 of these packages made, and they have sold very fast, so we don't have many left. So if you want to pick up one of those, you can get them at tinyurl.com/epicabundle. That's tinyurl.com/epicabundle. Simone, congratulations on the new album, and as I say, hopefully we'll get to see some of those songs played live here in the UK and around the world very, very soon. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.